Inequality is a problem all over the world, and we're seeing it here in Australia. In fact, a report released by Oxfam ahead of the 2020 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, has found that the richest 1% of Australians have more than doubled the wealth than the entire bottom 50% of our population. I find that pretty astounding. And when I hear that, I generally think of places like America or England, but no, that's happening here. So at a time when the bushfire crisis is still going strong and the need for funding and proper wealth distribution is at an all-time priority, what are we going to do? To talk to us about the issue, we're joined now by Lynn Morgane. Now, Lynn is the Chief Executive Officer at Oxfam Australia. Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Look, like I said, the top 1% of Australians are super rich. So can you give us a better idea of how much wealth they have compared to those in the bottom half?
Oh, well, in most cases, we're talking about, you know, multiple millions. We call them billionaires for a reason. So it goes up and down. But essentially, you know, we're talking about an amount that we now know is almost impossible to spend, even if that group wanted to.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty staggering. So how could this inequality have been caused, or how did it come about?
Oh, look, I think there's a range of trends. Some of them are to do with the way in which industries work and the way in which economies are working. So now it is entirely possible, nay likely, that you, once you reach a certain point of wealth, that wealth is going to continue to accumulate irrespective of what you do. And we saw that a bit with the Gates effort. You know, Bill and Melinda Gates, of course, are famous for having made significant efforts to try and divest some of that money to try and address sort of public health and other concerns. And what they're discovering is, notwithstanding their efforts, it's actually quite hard to spend that much money.
Right. Out of interest, do we have our own kind of Melinda and Bill Gates couple here? Like, is there someone in Australia?
Not in the same way, in that what Bill and Melinda, of course, have been famous for, and others have followed since, you know, the Zuckerberg Chan Foundation and others, where you see these extremely high wealth individuals make public their intentions to try to sort of redistribute some of what they've got. But I think leaving aside the question of what individuals do, what is very important is what governments do, because that wealth, and you asked the question about the Australian sector, many of the individuals who are on that list, and there's a big long list of them, actually made their money in fossil fuels. So it could be argued and should be argued that a lot of that wealth has been accumulated utilising resources that really belong to the population as a whole, the Commonwealth, if you like. So then the question is, have we taken sufficient steps to crack down on multinational tax avoidance in such a way that the community is gaining an appropriate share of that money? And that's where we have a problem, because we're not seeing that at the moment. What we're seeing is that once upon a time would have been thought about as the bottom 10% or the bottom 20% of people is now growing. We're talking about, you know, the bottom 50% of people who, on a daily basis, are probably finding it challenging to meet what most of us would think about as ordinary expectations. So being able to pay for their kids to go to a movie, or being able to go on a holiday, or being able to replace the fridge when it breaks. Mm. So, you know, you can have people now in full-time employment who are unable to provide the sort of quality of life that most of us would think was reasonable.
Was pretty standard. Mm. Yeah, I mean, the report also found that many of the companies, like you just touched on then, that there's a tax issue in there, right? They've avoided paying tax.
And that's exactly right.
I saw the statistic about the tax gap, and so the tax not paid by the large corporations, and it was around $2 billion, right? Mm. So that's actually the same amount as our National Bushfire Recovery Fund, which is, of course, partly funded by tax dollars. So I'm wondering, I mean, and that just blows my mind, right? So these guys have avoided paying tax. The rest of us are paying our tax.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying for things like this bushfire recovery fund, which we're all very happy to. It's a fabulous area for our money to be going. But I'm wondering, if the companies paid their fair share of tax, how would that help the community at large, especially in these times of crises?
Well, I think, you know, when I reflect on this, the bottom line here is that there is a narrative that suggests there's not enough money, and that's not true. There is plenty of wealth. So every time there's a conversation in the public domain about what we are doing about health funding, what we're doing about the NDIS, what we're doing about funding schools, what we're doing about funding Newstart, when, you know, we've got people living on so far below the poverty line that it's disgraceful, that oftentimes the narrative suggests, well, you know, there just isn't enough to go around. Not true. There absolutely is enough to go around. The problem we've got is that we are not taxing effectively in the way that we ought to be. And in fact, the trend is really disturbing, because our taxation system, particularly in the last couple of years with some of the decisions that have been taken, is getting less progressive, not more. So when we really need reforms to the tax system that would take account of this very considerable wealth that people can amass, we're not doing that, and at the same time we're making it tougher for ordinary people.
Look, Lynn, Oxfam is an international organisation, so you, I'm presuming you would see stats and details about other countries around the world. Is there a country that's doing it really well?
There are certainly countries that are more assertive in ensuring the progressivity of their tax system, and obviously the obvious ones often are the Scandinavian countries and others. There is also now a growing narrative in the circles that want to talk about inequality that say, actually, the proposition of billionaires is unethical and indecent, and we really need to start to address that. That, you know, really some, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think over the next few years that will gain currency internationally, that there will be, we're now in a position where I think, you know, 2,000 individuals hold more wealth than 6.9 billion people. So that's effectively the rest of the population, you know, so it's well over 90% of the population of the world. So again, we don't have a problem with a lack of wealth globally. We have a terrible maldistribution problem, so that we have, you know, Southern Africa now, where we're seeing very severe, drought and famine and related conditions. We're seeing a growth in fragile states globally, much of which is caused, in fact, by climate-related factors, and much of which could then be said to be directly related to the fact that some individuals are extracting natural resources, contributing to carbon emissions and amassing this significant wealth.
Yeah. Oh, Lynn, look, thank you so much for your insight and guidance on this issue this morning. I think you're right. I think over the next couple of years there will be a turning of the tide about ideas around billionaires and wealth. And hopefully, like you said, I love that ethos that there is enough money. Right? It's out there, it's in the system, it's about how that money is being distributed and directed. So
absolutely.
Lynn Morgane, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for your interest.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye now.